2013 with Richard Kingsmill
on Triple J.
On Triple J, so that was the track which launched their career last year. That's the American group Miss Mister and Hurricane, which ended up in the top 50 of the Hottest 100 of 2012 too. So the two main members of Miss Mister are Lizzie and Max. The story goes that Max was making music. He wanted to get into producing other acts instead of writing his own material, and he emailed Lizzie, who had a label, and she still does have a record label, asking if there were any recommendations she could make. They hit it off that they decided to collaborate together on their own material, and that's how Miss Mister was born. The debut album is just out. It's only a few weeks old. It's called Secondhand Rapture. We've been playing quite a few tracks from the album, but there are still other delights on this album. The second half of the record is all pretty much unknown. But when you listen to the album from Miss Mister, the common elements come through in a lot of the material. There's a similarity of rhythms and also vocal chants through the material. And I spoke to both Max and Lizzie this week about the music in this album. And I wanted to find out from, first of all, Lizzie, how they came up with that musical style.
For us, I think because we're such insane music lovers from so many different genres and time periods, with each song we sort of set a new sort of experiment for ourselves. And I think what's really interesting about the album is that I think there are a lot of different directions and genres that we touch on. I think at the heart of what we do, we're a pop act, and that's something we're very proud of and embrace. But I think pop is sort of an everything and nothing term, and that I think pop can be found in any genre, whether it be country or reggae or rock or hip-hop or electronic. And so for us, it was about feeling open enough to play within all those different worlds. And I think as we started to write, we found ourselves sort of continuously coming back to certain instruments and sounds that sort of resonated with us. I think organ being one in particular that there really had sort of a monumental impact on our development of our sound and our relationship to percussion, I think.
Yeah, the rhythms are certainly one of those ingredients I was talking about. There's like sort of that tribal rhythm that is in a lot of the material. Is that just something which is a personal preference for both you and Max?
I think definitely. I think, you know, it's funny, we've met people, I think people have been surprised to recognize that Max and I are quite sort of upbeat and bubbly and normal people and in person when you meet us, but the music is this opportunity for us to be sort of the most dramatic versions of ourselves. And I think a lot of that is definitely rooted in the percussion. And I think we want the drums to feel larger than life and that they're transporting out of you, sort of like transporting you from the mundane of your sort of like current situation. And I think something about having a really powerful drum is that it sort of grounds you and also propels the song forward and feel like it's your heart beating, but it's also like in the pit of your stomach. And that's something that we sort of just really wanted to incorporate in the music.
Does that rhythm naturally just lead on those sort of chanty vocals which also come into the sound of Miss Mister? Is that just a natural overlay on top of those rhythms, you think?
I think it's sort of a combination of things. I mean, one is that I don't play an instrument, so often when I write a song, as I said before, it will start as wholly an a cappella track. And I don't really consider myself a singer in that I'm sort of still learning how to use my voice. And for me, what I'm interested in exploring is how to use vocals as other elements and layers to the production rather than just being all about the voice up front. And so for us, it was sort of about combining those two things and seeing how those worlds could merge.
And what about learning an instrument? Have you got any desire to, now that you've got a project up and going in Miss Mister, do you want to actually try to sit down and learn an instrument now?
Definitely. I've sort of always been one of those people who, even though I don't know how to play an instrument, I can easily sort of like sit down at something and tinker away and find my way through something, particularly for a song. I did play drums growing up a little bit, and I did saxophone in middle school and played some piano when I was really young. And recently, I've sort of fallen in love with the auto harp. In fact, I think the whole band has. And I even sort of splurged on one as a gift to myself a few months ago. I definitely hope that I'd like to sort of incorporate that more as we continue to grow. And I would like to challenge myself and grow as a musician and experiment with sort of playing other instruments. But also, for me, I'm still very much finding out sort of the power and weaknesses and strengths of my voice and what I can do with it. And before being in this project, I'd never sung before. And so for me, learning how to use my voice and continue to be on the road, my voice is sort of grown in a huge way. My range is much bigger than it was when we first recorded the record, and I think I'm much more powerful now as a singer. And so I hope that as I start to take lessons and grow and develop my voice, that will also change sort of the scope of the music, because I think it will change how I write and how I use my voice.
Oh, and you've used the word pop a couple of times to describe what Miss Mister are all about, but there's a real darkness to the lyrics and some of the mood of some of these songs. Do you think you'll ever change that? Do you think you could be a bright, happy, shiny, happy people, to use a lyric from R.E.M.? Do you think you could ever, do you think you could come up with a whole album of just upbeat pop songs?
I don't know, and that would be a challenge. I don't know. I don't know why the music sort of brings out that sort of darkness within me and within Max, because again, I think we are quite upbeat people. I think a lot of the songs on this record are probably built up angst from sort of teenage years carried over into my early 20s. And I wonder, as I sort of like develop and grow into myself further and grow up as an adult, how my sort of the content of my lyrics will change. And it would be a challenge to write a happy song. But that being said, I don't think the album is all doom and gloom, and I don't think every song is inherently dark. I think a song like BTSK is the most full-on love song I've ever written. I think that there is sort of a sunniness to that.
Thanks, Lizzie, for that. I was actually going to speak to Max, because I think Max's favourite song off the record is actually BTSK, which does have a humour about it. So I'm going to speak to him in just a moment about that track. I believe your favourite track off the record, though, is Head Is Not My Home, which is actually the song that we've just started playing off this new record. Just quickly, Head Is Not My Home. When did you come up with this one, and what do you think of when you hear this one back?
Head Is Not My Home I just love, because I don't know, it has this sort of warped and weird and mildly psychedelic vibe to it, but it's got like a real sort of like country like twang and energy to it, and I feel like such a powerhouse when we perform it. I don't know, every time I listen to it, it just sort of like energizes me, and it's the sort of song that I would want to sort of see performed at a festival. And so I don't know, I really love it. I'm so like chuffed that it's sort of like gotten its moment in the limelight in Australia, because it's great to see that it's being played on radio. That's really exciting for me.
I told you the story before about how Max, instead of suggesting to Lizzie that they form an outfit together, that he actually contacted her first up to ask if there was any artists she knew of that he could write and produce for. So when I spoke to Max this week, I wanted to know, even though Miss Mister are now enjoying their own success, does he still have that in the back of his mind of something that he'll do one day?
I hope so. And I hope that's not too far down the path. Of where I'm headed. I don't know. We'll sort of see how things pan out. I'm still trying to stay open to anything, you know?
Well, I was just actually reading another interview you've recently done where you were saying, or the interviewer was saying, oh, I hear Jay-Z's become a bit of a fan of Miss Mister. How did that come to light? Did he tweet about you guys, or has he said something in the press?
His blog, Life and Times, has tweeted at us, and they've been a good fan, which is amazing, and even more amazing because it means we are one step closer to Beyonce.
So you just have to get that. You have to get that networking happening, and you've got a pretty good person in Jay-Z to start that network evolving, yeah, haven't you?
We're trying our hardest, man. We're mentioning it in every interview, just in the hopes that, you know, she'll read just that one.
Yeah, it gets out there. Listen, because you know, both of you kind of come from indie worlds. Can you see Miss Mister really going kind of mainstream? Because I know, you know, Game of Thrones, for instance, has used a track of yours, Bones, in a trailer that they've recently done, and you've been getting other sort of syncs with TV shows. Can you see Miss Mister just developing into, you know, more than an indie act to be part of the mainstream?
Yes, absolutely. I think we are rooted in a very indie ethos and a very sort of DIY way of creating music, but we're not shy about our aspirations for the band. I think we're both extremely ambitious people, and you know, you write music because you want people to hear it, and we're not elitist about who's going to listen to it. I just want people, whoever they are, to listen to it, and I want as many people to listen to it as possible. And I want to, you know, build up to that in the right way and really feel like we are at a place where we deserve it. So absolutely, you know, I think that's the goal, but still staying rooted in the very DIY way we did this. I still want to be writing in my bedroom and recording here because it's, you know, I think that's the way to make that pure Lizzie and Max sound.
The only problem with the mainstream, though, is that DIY ethic tends to go out the window because there's just so many more people you have to include in the whole equation. You don't see it being a conflict in the future?
Well, it's a challenge, and you know, I think that's, you know, for me, what's most important and what I feel really validated with, especially today, is that we recorded this record for us. We were writing the music for us before we had signed a record deal or even told our friends that we were a band. And so it means that the music's really pure. It is very much just music that made us happy. And the process of writing itself was wholly fulfilling. We weren't needing sort of external validation. And so all of this sort of everything else that has happened has just been sort of a cherry on top. And so I want to stay true to that idea that you need to write music for yourself first, and music that you like and music that makes sense to you in some way. And just fingers crossed that other people like it too. And so far they do, and that's just extraordinary.
All right. Well, listen, Max, good to speak to you. Looking forward to seeing you guys out here again, and you're out here for Splendor in the Grass. So it'll be terrific to see a lot more of this new material on stage this time round. I want to actually go out with what I believe is your favourite track off the album, and it's the one called BTSK. This track has, well, I find the lyric kind of humorous, Big Teeth, Small Kiss. Can you tell us why this one's your favourite?
Well, certainly for that reason. You know, it's a pretty pure pop song. It's sort of like a pop ballad. That lyric, I think, is sort of cheeky and funny, and the melody, I think, is really interesting and a bit strange. And so I just love the contrast between those two things, sort of this epic pop ballad and then this very sort of funny and endearing lyric.
It doesn't make us strong, it doesn't make us weak. Tongue tied to service like shy preteens. I could only breathe. Live to believe I'm alone. It didn't come easy. I'm glad it was hard. Worth the wait to give you my heart.